If you'd like, you can turn in your Bibles. You heard me earlier say I'm going to go to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter number 5. If you would, though, allow me to open up with Isaiah. Isaiah 53, many of you know it well. Verse number 4. Surely he took our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. In other words, not understanding in our own ignorance of what is happening. But it says in verse 5, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, or by his stripes, many of you know it as, we are healed. Jesus is our healer. He is the healer of our soul. He's the healer of our relationship with God. He is the healer of our emotions, our mind, and our heart. He's the healer of our bodies, our injuries, and our sicknesses. In our theme this year of the positive overriding the negative, the subject matter this morning, once again, very specific, it is healing. For I believe, church, that God wants to continue to do a work in the lives of our people. And when I use that word healing, this morning we're going to see a story, and in that story there was a physical healing, but also there was a spiritual healing that was taking place as well. And I want to tell you this morning, the word healing means a lot to each and every one of you. I know there are many here that you need your healing physically. And I want you to know that no matter what the diagnosis is, we know the reality of those diagnoses and we are thankful for them. We're not against doctors, we're not against surgeons, we're not against medicine. We thank God for all of the knowledge that he has given mankind to be able to deal with those things. We know that Luke, he was a physician, right? So we're not against that at all, but we do believe that in the name of Jesus Christ, our bodies can be healed of sickness and disease. And no matter how significant it may seem, or even how small it may be, whatever it is, we just trust in the Lord that he is our healer. But not just in our physical bodies, because I know God wants to do a work there. There are relationships before me that need to be healed. There are hearts that are brokenhearted. There are minds that are just kind of all over the place. And God wants to do a healing work in our lives today. We will find that theme all throughout the Bible. You can go to Exodus chapter number 15, and it says, "For I am the Lord your healer." We get over into Psalm chapter 30, verse number 2, and the psalmist cries out and says, "O Lord, my God, I have cried to you for help, and you have healed me." I believe that can happen here today. You go over to Psalm 103, and it says, "He heals all of our diseases." Psalms 147 says, "He heals the brokenhearted, and he binds up their wounds." All of that pointing to the ministry and the work of Jesus Christ, because at his heart, at his very core of who he is, healing is very much upon his mind. Matthew chapter number 4, we get into the Gospels. We see Jesus along with his disciples. They're moving from city to city, village to village, town to town, and in all of those, his popularity is spreading. The people are hearing what is happening. There's a great testimony as the light of the world has come to be upon them. And what you see in Scripture is that they began to bring those who are sick and ill and even demon-possessed. And what happens? Jesus takes them and has compassion on them, and he heals them all. Luke chapter 4, we know he makes that statement, that declaration of his ministry, that he has been sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, to recover the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. That's God's healing power at work through the ministry of Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, as the ministry continues to expand, what does he do? He empowers those 12 disciples. He says, "Go preach the gospel." And as you do so, you go, and as the people come, you heal them in the power of Jesus' name. And then as you continue to read through the Gospels, you get to Luke chapter 10. He's like, "Well, we're going to send out 72 more. And then, of course, when you get to the book of Acts, we see the church has been empowered by the moving of the Holy Spirit. And now the church is operating just in a strong way as they are praying and believing and trusting God. And in Jesus' name, and in Jesus' name alone, because he received all the glory for it, lives are being healed by the power that was flowing through those ministries. I would say to you today in Jesus' name, may every single individual here at Cuita Assembly, those who may be hurting, brokenhearted, maybe you do have an illness, you're emotionally spent or spiritually troubled, or maybe you just put it this way, you're physically oppressed. I pray in Jesus' name that you will be healed today. I pray that you will be healed, not for my benefit. I'm just going to do what God has asked me to do. I'm going to be the messenger, and then I'm going to allow God to work in your lives. And I pray that he does so just in a powerful way. I want to take you just for a few moments to Mark chapter 5. Now, before I begin to read, I think it's good to have a little bit of understanding of what's happening here in these chapters. Jesus and the disciples, they've been on the move in ministry. They have recently crossed the Sea of Galilee. There they encountered a violent storm that many of us know about, because that's where they woke Jesus up and he calmed the wind and the waves. They get to the other side, and there he was met with a demon-possessed man. Of course, everybody was kind of fearful. Even the disciples were kind of, you know, put back of what was taking place, and is where Jesus just kind of steps up and is like, well, how long has he been this way? In other words, let's get this taken care of right now. You know, I'm not going to step back because of this. And of course, the man is delivered and the man is healed. However, ironically, the people rejected this. They didn't want him there. So Jesus and the disciples got back in the boat and they crossed over to the northern shore to where they had come from. And so that's where we pick up this story. So a lot, it's about 2 days that is happening, and it's just a constant move of ministry with Jesus and the disciples. And that's where we pick it up in verse number 21. It says, and when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. And then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And in seeing him, he fell at his feet, and he begged of Jesus. He implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. And so Jesus, he agrees, and he is going to go with him. So he begins to move with them. Now we have a story within a story, because I'm not really going to focus on that one today. I'm going to focus on what happens on the way to Jairus' home. Look at what it says. So the great crowd, they continued to follow him, and they were all about him. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, had spent all that she had, was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, came up behind him in the crowd, and she touched his garment. For this is what she said, if I touch his garments, I will be made well. And immediately the flow of blood dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Wow, that had to be a pretty amazing feeling. To know at that moment that you feel within your body, I mean, 12 years of suffering, and at this moment, she feels the healing touch of Jesus in her life. Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone out from him, he immediately turned about in the crowd and he said, who has touched my garments? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, she came in fear and trembling, and she fell down before him, and she told him the whole truth of what had just happened. And he says to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. Now, if I'm correct, as I was studying here, one of the thoughts that I came across is that this is the only time that he would say daughter. And so why that? And perhaps it is, if it had been an older woman, perhaps he would have said mother. But he says daughter, so it puts in our mind that she might have been in her mid-20s. Now, we're not for certain about that, but he uses that phrase with her. But he says, go in peace and be healed of your disease. What a powerful phrase for someone to hear. That is really my prayer today. I pray you go in peace and you be healed. I pray you leave God's house today with such peace upon your life, and you have such trust in God that no matter what your story is, that right now you're connecting with what the Holy Spirit is wanting to speak into your life, and you're able to leave this place knowing that God's hand is upon you and he's going to walk with you through the journey that you're on right now. I pray you can go out in peace. Now, knowing that Jesus desire to heal the hurting and the broken and the oppressed, I want to take just a brief moment to consider the character and the action that is demonstrated by this woman here who was healed. There's four things, and they're pretty simple, and they just kind of build upon one another. The first one is this, is just the demonstration of her courage. Now think with me. If you know the historical things that are taking place here, we understand that she was considered unclean. She was not supposed to be in public, especially around a crowd. She's not supposed to come in contact with anyone. So by getting in the middle of this crowd, she is breaking the custom, the religious laws. She's putting herself out there in a position where she's very vulnerable to the community and to the leaders. You see, when she had an issue such as this, she was considered ceremonially unclean. And if she was to brush up against you or touch you, then you'd have to take time out of your schedule. You'd have to go purify yourself. And then maybe later in the day, you could come out and be a part of the crowd. So by coming out and being a part of the crowd, she put herself in a very vulnerable position. Perhaps one of the religious leaders would have seen her, or maybe she would have touched them. They'd have said, okay, hey, get back to the outer city edges. Go back to where you belong. Isolate yourself. Don't be around us. And so I see in this woman, for my understanding, and when I stand before you, I may not have a perfect understanding, but as I pray and ask God to give me an understanding, what I see here is that she had an incredible sense of courage to say, you know what? Something's different about today. I've heard about Jesus. I've heard about his ministry. I see what's happening. And so already something has taken place in her heart, and she realizes that no matter what it is that she may face, she has the courage to go ahead and say, I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to be with Jesus. I really think in our time today, we can learn from that, even though our story may look 100 times different. And culturally, we may not even be able to relate. But I can relate with the way that she handles this, because I think the courage she displays is something the church needs to begin to do again today. Amen. That we need to step out with some courage. That we need to associate ourselves with Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit. And we will not worry about what others may say. We will not worry about how others may look upon us. But if we believe Jesus is going to do something pretty amazing and he is asking us to step out, let's go ahead and have some courage and let's step out and allow God to move. Amen. But you know, in your situation, very specifically, there could be a lot of reasons that would hold you back from going ahead and moving in the way that God would want you to move. And in your mind and in the minds of many of us, they could be justifiable reasons. But it may be this morning that you need to hear this word, because what you need to hear first is go ahead and have some courage. If healing is possible for you, and again, whatever that healing looks like, if it is possible, go ahead and have some courage and step out and say, I'm going to move towards God. I want to move towards his promise. I'm going to move towards what I believe he wants to do in my life. I'm going to move towards what I believe he wants to do in my physical body, in my mind, in my spirit. I'm going to go ahead and move towards God and what he wants to do in my relationship with my family, with my children, with my career, with my finances, whatever it may be. I'm going to go ahead and have some courage, and I'm going to just go ahead and follow where God is leading me. Amen. Now, I know I'm probably taking a little bit of liberty here, but I'm trying to gain from her and how this looks for my life here today. The second thing is here is just her humility. That's a word that we've brought up a lot recently, even on Wednesday night. I think I was misunderstood in the earliest service as I received a little note. But humility is not a lack of self-worth. Okay, it doesn't mean that you don't care about yourself. Humility, in my mind, that's just emptying yourself, understanding your need and desire for Jesus. It's ridding yourself of that selfishness. It's ridding yourself of anything inside of you that would get in the way of what God wanted to do. And I just see a sense of humility about her. And here's why I say this, because you can have courage, and if you're not careful, you can have an arrogant courage. And I don't want anything about me to be arrogant when I come before the Lord and when I even present the Lord. And when I pray and when I pray with others, I don't want there to be this spiritual arrogance as though I am something and I have arrived and I have all knowledge. No, I'm thankful for the life that God has given me. And let me tell you, if she had no self-worth, she would have never got out of bed. But she believed in what God was doing inside of her life. So to me, humility is just emptying yourself of you and everything that would get in the way and say, Lord, I need you in every area of my life. But also her humility towards the end of the story, how she just goes ahead and comes before the Lord. Fear and trembling, a reverent awe. When you think about what was said there, and I really didn't think about it until just this weekend, how many times do you see them coming before the Lord and it says, and she spoke the truth? For her to walk in truth, I believe is an important factor of her healing being fully received. Because there could have been maybe some fear that said, you know what, hey, I'm gonna step aside because I don't want to tell him because maybe I'll get in trouble, or maybe like one of the religious leaders, he'll send me away. But I don't really believe she felt that. She was compelled. The courage, the humility, just to come before the Lord. And I think that's important, because for us this morning, I would just simply say this about humility. I think most of us would like to think that we walk in humility. But humility at times can be much, much more difficult doing it than just saying it. Because it's emptying yourself of maybe some desires or not of God, or maybe some wants and needs that maybe really shouldn't be there. Whatever that may be, it's just coming before the Lord with such a humble spirit. And we get that from the Lord, right? On Wednesday night crowd, we've been in Philippians. What did Jesus do? He humbled himself, and he stepped out of the glories of heaven at his rightful place, and he took the form of a servant so you and I could have the ability to be made right with God, right? So that's the attitude I'm talking about there. But then the third thing is we see that unwavering step of faith. All she needed to do was just touch the hem of his garment, just the tassel there, and he would be healed, or she would be healed. So when I think about that unwavering step of faith, I'm trying to picture this in my mind. And I'm thinking, and this may be silly, okay? And you know your pastor. I can be silly, and I can say things, and you can think, like, bless his heart. I appreciate that you keep coming, and you believe with me, and together we work through it. But I think about a crowd, so I'm thinking about, okay, a crowd. I'm thinking about, I've been at a theme park. One time we were in Disneyland on July the 4th, the one in California where the walkways were a little bit smaller. And let me tell you, I thought I was going to have to fight my way out of that park. You know what I mean? I mean, we were just all on top of each other. When I think about, I can see Michelle's getting anxiety right now thinking about that moment. I mean, we went in with three kids. We were coming out with three kids, all right? And so it was crazy. Or I think about the mall at Christmas time, you know what I mean? There's just people all around. When you're around a bunch of people like that, you're going to bump into individuals. And there's going to be at some point, sometime, you can be in such a crowd. I know there's a lot of you, you're like, you know what? I'm just not a crowd person, so I'm going to kind of separate myself from the crowd. There could have been a lot of things happening here, a lot of things that could have stopped her. I mean, she could have got to a certain point, because I'm picturing in my mind, the crowd was pretty heavy. We know that. The scripture's given us that picture. The crowd is all around Jesus. The disciples are all around Jesus. And I believe the closer she got, the more packed up it was. And there could be that moment when you get to, you're almost there. You're just almost there. And there could be that moment, you're like, okay, close enough. Or you know what? Or you decide to give out. Boy, she didn't do it. She just stayed in there. She had that unwavering step of faith. I'm going to step out. I'm going to take some courage. I'm going to be humble about this. I'm going to get out there. I'm going to get out there with the crowd. I know I'm not supposed to be out here. I know that if I get caught, I could get in trouble here. I could be sent away, put in isolation. I know that perhaps even if I was to touch Jesus, that could really get me in some trouble here. And so there could be a lot going on in her mind. There could have been a lot of reasons for her just to stop at some point and say, wait a minute, maybe this is too far. So again, I'm trying to bring it back to my life, to our lives. And I think there's probably many times we've gotten close. We've gotten close to that healing. We've gotten close to that situation being taken care of. We've gotten close to really being where God wants us to be. But then maybe at the last moment we pull out and we miss what God wants to do. Can I tell you, just have that unwavering step of faith and just go ahead and move in the direction God wants you to move in, right? All through Scripture. We can go to Hebrews chapter 11, right? And we can see all of those individuals moving in faith. We know the prostitute Rahab and the great faith that she had. We know Moses and the great faith that he had to step out into the dry ground of the Red Sea with the water flowing on each side of him. We know that David, he took off the king's armor and he stepped out in faith just with a slingshot. We know those big Bible stories, right? But all throughout Scripture, you're going to see people stepping out in faith. And when they did, that's when something pretty amazing took place. So this morning, I would encourage you before you leave, is God asking you to step out with some unwavering faith that says, I'm all in and I'm not going back, and I'm not going to be crowded out, and I'm not going to be pushed around, and I'm not going to worry what others say. What if the enemy is trying to keep me from getting what God wants me to have? I'm going to continue on, have that unwavering step of faith. The last one I'll give you is just simply this, and again, they're just kind of building on each other, is that persevering resolve. Think with me. Her story teaches you and I today to not give up on the life that we believe that God has given us. No matter how hopeless and negative her circumstance seemed to be, She kept moving forward, looking for an answer that would change her life for the better. Think with me. It says it right here in Scripture. So I'm not having liberty with this part. I'm telling you, this is what it says in Scripture. For 12 years, she battled with the disease in her body, and she has yet to give up. For 12 years, she dealt with the doctors, and the doctors had no answer. She did all the things that they had asked him to do, whatever that looked like. Over and over, she would go and she would see what they would have to say. For 12 years, she battled through all of these procedures. And then it says that she exhausted her finances. That relates with us today because healthcare is expensive, right? So even here, we can understand that. She has exhausted all of her finances. And in all of this, the scripture tells us her situation only grew worse. So here's what I love about this. Just the way that she is presented to us. And I wish we kind of knew her name. I guess we don't need to know because it's not there. Because I don't want to just make her seem like a nobody. Because she is definitely a somebody that's important to you and I. She did not become hopeless. I don't believe she became a negative person. Don't you know that after so many things in life, you began to get a little bit negative? She didn't become bitter. She didn't go around proclaiming, poor me, poor me. She did not let her silence and her isolation keep her down because she kind of had to keep herself away from the crowds. But she kept believing. Now, for this moment, this day, it would have probably been real easy with all the crowd out there for her to isolate herself in the confinement of her home because that's what she should do. But instead, the resolve inside of her said, no, today's different. And I got to get out there. And that resolve, that perseverance, what did it do? It caused her to get out into those crowded streets and to push her way to Jesus Christ. And I think, wow, that never gets old. Because there are so many things that are trying to crowd out what God really wants to do in our lives. Now, we know in the compassionate and the incredible power of Jesus Christ that he could have just spoke it from the streets and she could have been healed. But what we have to see here is the stories about her getting to him because that's what was important. Because what are the things in life that are keeping you and I from getting to him? What keeps us from coming to an altar? What keeps us from going to him in a daily prayer? What keeps us from going to him first and saying, God, I need your healing in my life. I need it in my home. I need it in my children. I need it, God, in my finances. I need it in every area of my life. What is keeping us from going to him and crying out and just pushing through and say, God, I know this is what you have for me. Church, we need to learn from this and we need to continue to push through today, right? Because our culture would like for us to isolate ourselves. Our culture would like for us to stay confined within the walls of the church. Our culture would like for us to keep our political views quiet. Our culture would like for us just to stay silent about anything that has to do with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, now's the day and hour for the church to rise up, call upon the name of Jesus, unashamed, and just trust him that he's going to move on our behalf. Amen. That type of attitude. I see her, this woman, incredible woman. And of course, the way he responds to her by speaking to her, daughter, go in peace. Your faith has made you well. He's just let the world know that he's going to do things a little bit different. He's not going to go by some religious law. He's not going to suppress women. He's not going to make her look like anything less. But right there, he's letting them know everybody's important. Everybody's equal. My love is for everyone. And this woman's faith right here, this is what is changing her life. There was nothing magical about that moment. If we were to build a message like, oh, if we can just touch one of Jesus' garment, you know, if we wanted to build a religion out of that, if we could just find a piece of clothing that he wore, then we would be healed. It had nothing to do with the clothing that he was wearing. It had to do with the power of Jesus Christ, right? There's nothing magical about Jesus. It is a step of faith, believing it. And for her, for that moment, she believed that she had to touch him. And so that's what she did. And then her faith was what led to her being healed. So again, to us, what is it that God is asking you and I to do? What step of faith? What does that look like? I cannot tell you what your step of faith looks like. But I can tell you, man, have some courage. Have some humility. Be unwavering with your decision, right? And just persevere and step out and trust God. I can't even tell you when, how, or what it's going to look like. But I'm going to trust God for your healing to take place. If any of you were with me last week, which I know many of you were, you heard me tell my story with Michelle and I. I would have loved for the whole healing process of our marriage to take place in just a matter of an hour. But it didn't. It took some years. It took some time. There are times in our life where I know there are many of you, physically, there's things that you've been praying for. And I know Paul had a thorn in his flesh. We know that Paul had, you know, something that was with him that stuck with him. And there's a variety of answers and reasons that you and I can come up with. But here's what I know. Whatever's happened in my life, and I believe that God wants to do work, I'm going to step out in faith and trust him. Right? Because at the end of the day, isn't that what it's about? I have no magical equation that I can give you. I can't say, hey, if you'll do this, 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 and this, and go home and do that, and drink some chocolate milk, you will be healed. Okay? The chocolate milk will make you feel better, but you're probably still not going to heal you, right? So if we're looking for something like that, I think we're probably going to frustrate ourselves. Because I think what it comes down to in this story is a woman being willing to show us what it looked like for her healing to unfold, because it kind of helps us see how ours can unfold. The courage, the humility, the unwavering decision, the resolve, and the perseverance to say, okay, God, I'm in, and I'm going to step in faith. I believe if you'll take a step in faith today, God wants to do a work of healing in your life.